Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for a wonderful day we had today here. Not too hot, not too cold. It's just right. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for leading us and guiding us tonight in this outreach. And we praise you and thank you for all that you're going to accomplish in us. And Lord, we thank you for bringing down the deep state in the world and arresting all of the perpetrators of the crime that they have committed against the people. And Lord, we thank you for setting all the traffic people loose from their handlers in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that, Father. And all the children that have been captured, we thank you, Father, for loosing those too in Jesus' name. And erasing in their mind the things, the horrendous things that have happened to them in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, I thank you for miracle working faith in each and every one of us, Lord. That we believe your word, and when your word says that we have authority over all the power of the enemy, we believe it. We just operate faith and command it to go from us. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. All right. Has anybody else got a prayer request tonight? Yeah, Missy.
Murrow was found out today. His niece that had cancer, pretty sure I've told you about her, Diane. She's only a year younger than him. She passed away in the middle of the night. Her husband went to give her medicines, and she was still warm. She hadn't been gone very long. So just believing that she's with the Lord. Lord, I just ask you to comfort the family, Lord. And just turn this around, Lord, to glorify yourself, Lord. You be glorified, Lord, and use it to bring salvation to others, Lord. And Lord, I was hoping and praying, believing that Diane was going to make it through, that she was going to come into the knowledge of the truth of by your stripes she is healed. And, well, she's with you now, Lord. So she's, as David would say, heaven's not a bad place. So we just ask you to comfort the family, be with them. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, that she's with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for she's not in any pain anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyone else? Well, Father, I lift up my sister Alanette to you. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that the Lord of the harvest would send someone there that she would listen to bring the gospel to her and healing to her. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for taking all unforgiveness away from her toward her brother and anyone else that she may have unforgiveness for. And we praise you for doing that for Alanette in the name of Jesus. And I ask the same thing for my brother David. And thank you, Lord, for bringing all of them into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Floor is open. Yeah, Benita, go ahead.
Hi, everyone.
Howdy.
I just want to tell you about, I was at work today and I was sitting next to Pete Sr. He's the grandfather of, well, anyways, he's the oldest one. But we were just talking and he said something about he's starting to read the Bible now. And so, of course, I got all excited. And so, we were just talking about different conspiracies and things and what he believed. And we started talking about the Bible, and he's just really starting to get into it. And so I just was asking him if he knew about the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues or any of that. And he hadn't heard any of that. He grew up in a kind of a Catholic faith. Not really, though. He wasn't really involved in it. But so he's just kind of starting at the beginning, reading through Exodus, Genesis. Exodus just starting at the beginning. And I said, did you ever read like Acts and about Pentecost? And he didn't know anything about that. And so I was like, well, and then I just shared my testimony about being filled with the Spirit, how I came to the ministry, and you prayed for me, and I believed I was filled. And then, for me, several months later, I got the gift of speaking in tongues, and he was really taking it all in. And I don't know, just really open to it all. And so I guess I want to pray that he be filled with that Holy Spirit and get that revelation. And just I led him to ubm.org and told him about the teachings. And I'm going to take him the Sovereign God book tomorrow. And he's just so excited about it all. He's really, I just shared also about like what a revelation it was, the David's teaching about Exodus and coming out of the world, and how that I just had never seen it that way. And that was just one of David's teachings that opened my eyes to things. And he's like, yeah, I can see that. I can see, so without teaching, I was just sharing my testimonies and how the Lord had taken me through different learnings and experiences. So I just want to pray for Pete and that he would just come to know the Lord like we've come to know the Lord, and he would be filled with the Spirit and just have the gifts. And Lord, you know what you're doing in his life and in his heart, Lord. And he's excited to read Sovereign God, so I'm excited that he can. I mean, he even was talking about how God's hand is in all the deaths and all these things, and he kind of understood that, which most people don't. So I'm just excited for him to get on the website and listen to the teachings, and Lord, guide him and direct him and show him, just give him the energy and excitement to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Lord.
Lord.
You're bringing him all the way in. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Julie.
Father, thank you for Pete. Thank you, Lord, for the excitement that you put in his heart about what he's hearing from Benita and what he's already been reading. And Father, I ask for a hedge of protection around him that people with all kinds of religious spirits and doctrines of that are far from the truth, Lord. You just keep them away from those people. Keep them away from him and confusing him about what he reads. I just pray, Lord, also that you would draw him into the to read about the Gospels, read about Jesus, read about what our new covenant is and that kind of thing, and that you'll lead him there and read read the Psalms, read Proverbs and those kinds of things too. But Lord, you lead him on what he reads, and I pray, Lord, that as he reads, that you put even in him prayers to pray to you for what he sees in the word, that he'd really like to know you, Father, that you would put that in his heart, that he would really want to know God, really want to know Jesus and our Father, and that you would draw him and protect him, keep him, and keep him excited. And as Benita prayed, Lord, get him filled with the Holy Ghost. And we thank you, Lord, what you're doing in our families. I also want to pray that for our families, Lord, that you continue to draw them, work in their lives. I know you've been hearing our prayers and answering them, even though we may not see things or hear things that are completely in agreement with that, Lord. We know that your hand is on them and that you're working all things after the counsel of your will and for your good pleasure concerning each and every one of them. And I thank you, God, for opening up their eyes and giving them a gift of discernment about the deceptions, the false things that are out there being said that are even just so subtle, that they would have a check in their spirit, that they would have a sense of something not quite right with this preacher, with that person said, and keep them off of the websites and other people's ministries, Lord, that aren't good for them, that you would just give them a distaste for that kind of thing and lead them away, Lord, that they realize they're not getting fed there correctly, or however you do that in them, Lord. And who's cast down these false demon doctrines, these religious spirits, and the deceptions that are out there that are in AI and CGI, and just they have this name and this following, and however that leads them, they think that's where they should go and search stuff out, Lord. And I just ask you your protection. You brought all of us, or probably most of us, out of false denominational places of deception, Lord. We're just where we're at for a while, Lord. You kept us there. We learned some things. We grew there, and then you let us out. And I thank you, Lord, you're going to do that for them too. And protect them while they're there, and don't let them get caught up in things too deep. But I know that there's nobody you can't save of your elect. I praise you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to God. Anybody else? I feel very confident that there's going to be things happening here very shortly. Has anybody else got that? Had that in their spirit? I'm trying to do two things at one time, and I'm having some problems here. Go ahead, Judy.
You ain't got no problems.
No, I ain't got no
You can do
problems.
it.
That's right.
You can do it. I am getting, just hearing from the Lord about things, that it's soon, that things are going to change for me very soon, and that kind of thing. So, believe in that. I'm believing that for all of us, that God's gonna do something great. He's going to do something great. He's going to be, moving and answering our prayers and the things that we've asked, and we don't know exactly how and when, but things are heating up, and it's getting very, very dark out there. And I just sense from the Lord that what he's telling me is, just rest and trust him, and that things are going to change for me very soon. So if they're changing for me, they're going to change for a lot of people, I think. And all that means for individuals and for the ministry, and just going to watch and see what you do, Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? What you eating of the watermelon or watermelon seeds?
A
Eat those
junior
watermelon.
mint.
Oh, a junior mint. Okay. Whatever that is.
Like a tiny little York peppermint patty.
Oh, okay. Tic Tac.
A little bigger and soft. It's chocolate.
Okay.
Like a York
Oh.
patty.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anybody got anything I'd like to show? Oh, okay. All right. We're going to have a praise song here shortly that we're going to play. And I got a question afterwards that I'm going to throw at you, see if you can get some discussion going. How many of you saw that thing about Grok and what he said about Jesus and the Bible? Grok is an AI that Elon Musk had. It was on, I put it on the Signal chat. And it's pretty interesting. I know some people don't like AI, but he was dead on. He was dead on. Or I should say live on. Yeah. Did you see it, Pat? You haven't? Well, it's not very long. I think it's about 25 minutes long, and they gave this AI a question about are there any inconsistencies in the Bible? I think was something similar that they asked. Because you know, a lot of people say there's a lot of inconsistencies in the Bible if you let them talk. And that's people that's trying to discredit the Christianity religion. And AI came up and said, well, you know, there is a numeric pattern in the Bible. Now, when we heard that from this is after I think it was about 26 minutes long, but when he started talking at it, got David and I's ear when he started saying, and he was quoting, he was saying some of the same things that Ivan Panin said. Gematria, thank you, Judy. Yeah, he was talking about the gematria. And but anyway, it's very, very interesting. If you get a chance, you can look at it. Yeah, Andrew.
Chapter 2 of Sovereign God.
What's
Chapter
chapter
2 of
two?
Sovereign God.
Oh
It's
yeah. Yeah. Well, what in the comment section on that particular item, I'll put in there the link to what's the name of that? Gosh, the book that t not the book that talks about Ivan Panin's discovery, and put that in there. And also, David had had him send a book to Elon Musk, the NENT. So. Okay, Jill, you got a praise song? Okay. Don't throw up right there, Obi. Turn it up, Billy.
He is jealous for me. Loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us, oh. Oh, how he loves us, how he loves us.
Thank you.
jealous for me. Blows like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are, and how great your reflections are for me.
I don't believe we can understand the depth of his love toward us. Praise God. Sometimes, you know, if we understood how deeply he does love us, I think things would change considerably. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Yeah, Julie.
Amen, Michael. I agree with what you just said. I was thinking about that and talking to the Lord about that last night and praying about that for all of us, you know, that we would all get the, you know, the understanding of how much he loves us individually, you know. It's we haven't apprehended it all yet, but, you know, as Paul prayed and I prayed and you've all prayed and Ephesians chapter 3 about that. What is the breadth and the height and the length and this, the depth and of Christ, and to know the love of Christ, which passes understanding. That's what we all need a true revelation of. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for us. You really do love us. You know, thank you, Jesus. Help us to understand that and really know your love. Thank you, Jesus.
If we understood, I believe we'd have a complete, unadulterated surrender to everything that he's had for us and everything that we've got that we wanted would be out the door. If you understand what I'm saying, we don't want nothing of our flesh. We all we want is Jesus. And that's hard for a lot of us to comprehend, that depth of surrender. And it does. That's what he wants. That's what he always wants, is a complete surrender to him. I've been thinking about that all day. Yeah, Julie.
I think, too, in addition to that, we would have absolutely no doubt in our minds about anything we ask God for ourselves or anybody else, that we would just be so full of faith. And I was also meditating on John chapter 17 last night, and his prayer for us, you know, for his disciples and for us, and to be one with him in that glory that they had, that he had with the Father before the world was. You know, it was just them. You know, it was just who they were as one, you know, one mind, one heart, one spirit, one. And I was just thinking a lot about that too. So maybe that's why I was playing that song today, and felt like I wanted to play that tonight, because I was thinking a lot about that, just wanting to just apprehend his love and really, really be right there. I know we're going to have it for all eternity, but we enter in here, and I think that's what the bride's going to get, you know, is that revelation and that two should be one, you know, as Christ is with the church, that's what we're going to have. I know, just my thoughts.
Amen. Go ahead, Joe.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Joe.
I just want to say, a couple of years ago, I remember Angelica putting a post, and I write it down. It said so much. It's what a word says, but it says so much. It's, love is not based on a reasoning, but knowing. And knowing comes from trust the one who have a good nature, a character. That's the one you love. That's the one you have to trust. That's the only reason why living is this. It's God, nothing about else. Thank you.
Amen. Amen, Joe. Somebody else had their hand up. Was it you, Andrew? Okay, go ahead, brother.
I was going to read John 17:22, if it's okay.
Yes, sir. You go
and
right
23.
Ahead. Yep.
Okay. I wrote it out. Like, I took some of the highlights of these from 14 to 17, and I wrote them out on a piece of paper just to review them sometimes before I start my study. 17:22. And I have given them the glory which thou hast given me, and they, that they be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they be perfected into one, that the world know that thou didst send me, and lovest them even as thou lovest me. So, kind of answers the song we just listened to, Oh How He Loves Us. And it's when Julie mentioned it, I suddenly remembered my little paper here. So praise and glory to God. That's like the, you know, there's so many oneness verses. There's the Ephesians 4:4 to 4:6, the one body, one spirit, the one hope of the hope of your calling, the one Lord, the one faith. And there's a big problem with that one. The one baptism, you know, because they usually make a membership out of that. And the one God and Father of us all, who is over all, in all, and through all. And I was gesturing over your head, in you, and through you, as if he was coming out of you, out of your mouth, out of your hands. And, you know, he comes out of your mouth more often than he comes out of your hands, actually. And that's good, because for no word of God shall be void of power. All glory to God.
Pastor Jesus. Lord, I want to pray. I know we probably prayed this before, but I believe it needs to be reminded, a reminder, Lord, that we all strive to surrender everything to you, everything. And sometimes it gets our self desires get in the way. What we want to do and what we got to do and this, that, and that thing. When in all actuality, all you want us to do is surrender to you, and you'll take care of everything. And I praise you, Father, if you would place that in each and every one of us, to surrender all and to repent of any sins that might be floating around that you haven't repented of yet. And I thank you, Lord, that we're coming in a time where the bride is going to be spotless, spotless, absolutely spotless. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for placing it in our hearts to confess all of our sins to you and repent and to follow you in a meaningful way with our whole heart. And I thank you for doing that for each and every one of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And all of God's children said, you know, I was studying about amen. Anybody ever studied amen? Jesus never said it. At the end of a prayer. Now, I'm just starting to study, so don't ask a lot of questions. Go ahead, Julie.
Okay, so he never said it. Is it in the New Testament? Where did it come from?
Well, he never used it as a finishing of a prayer.
Okay.
The word amen comes from a Greek word that actually means a declaration. Yeah. And I just started it, so I don't know a whole lot about it. I just thought I'd bring it in there and see if anybody else had done a study on that word. Yeah. Look, Anna has already done a study on it. Praise be to God. Go ahead, Anna.
I read fast, Michael, you know?
Yeah, I know.
No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I have not done a study on it other than, you know, I've heard David talk about, you know, it means so be it or whatever. But I have noticed over the years that they would always say, like in the epistles, they'd always say, you know, for, you know, to God be the glory forever and ever, amen. And they'd use it in that context. But one place, I think it's talking about the blessing of food. He says, and how shall they that hear say the amen, you know, if they can't understand it? And I've always kind of, after reading that, I've always kind of thought, well, you say the prayer and everyone else says the amen. And I don't always do that. Sometimes I say amen, but a lot of times I'll just say in Jesus' name. And it's just interesting because a lot of times, like, it's not in my mind to even say amen afterward. And I don't know if that's the Lord putting that in me or not, but it's interesting, that little thing about, you know, others say amen. So.
Amen. Amen. I wished I had the study in front of me, but I don't. But Go ahead, Andrew. Let's see what you've got to say.
If you're in the presence of someone praying, you can even be not even hearing the words they say, but you know to say amen. But then again, what did Paul say when he was absent and not in the presence with them on a certain item for correction? And if you're one body, don't you partake in the prayers of the one body? I'm just putting that out there. I'm not sure. I just thought of that when Anna was speaking there, you know. If it's all one and you want to participate and know what the other person knows too, so that we can all be built up in this one body, one spirit. So we want these prayers. As for well, I can't remember now. Praise and glory to God.
Okay, here's something I had written down. Let me see here. In the original Hebrew, the word for faith is the word amunah, A-M-U-N-A. It does not primarily mean mental belief in a set of doctrines. It means firm, steady, unwavering action rooted in the character and covenant of God. It is the same root as the word A-M-M-O-N, amon, amunah, amen. The connection is not coincidental. Faith and declaration are bound together at the root. In other words, amen is a word of declaration that this is going to happen. This is going to work, just like I said it was going to work. Yes, Anna.
If that is the same root as firm, you know, declaration, that sounds almost like everyone's saying, I believe.
Yep, could be. Yep. So be it. You know, yeah, Missy.
I looked it up in Thayer's and Strong's, and but I always heard that it means so be it. You know, like kind of like a declaration. Yeah. Like you were saying.
In other words, this is going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that they say that too. So be it, amongst other little things. But that's the gist of it. Yeah.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I was just wondering if we should expand it to maybe add what is it? Mark 11:23-24. The mountain declaration verses and the 24th verse, of course, to believe it, that you've received it, that it's already done.
Yep.
Because if you know it's in the word, especially like if it's a covenant word that God has already put in your mind and in your heart, then you know it has to come to pass. You know, there's a lot of things that God would put in your mind, like He loves justice and He hates robbery with iniquity. Now we hear of some children that are not being treated very nicely in this world, and they weren't spared something. You know, the other day I was watching the child the Hitler Jugend. You know, if Hitler came around in 1933 and you were 12 years old, that's all you ever heard of him. And they really lost their childhood. And in 33, compared to when the war starts in 39, you got some 18-year-olds there already, you know. So And then it went on for 5 years. So you got to really do some math there on how some children were robbed of their youth, because everyone had to go to that camp. Everyone had to learn it. You know, they indoctrinated their ideas, which are similar to the things we hear today sometimes too. And, you know, some people have been robbed of their youth. They've been robbed because of certain items that have happened to them, you know, and they didn't have the normal things, you know. And some children who were perhaps sold for something, and some of them would perhaps not know anything better, you know. And this is why God hates robbery with iniquity. And because he wants to give people righteousness, he wants to at least give you a law and order so that perhaps that is what an instrument of his use to draw you to the faith to be in Christ Jesus. So, you know, it's just so sad that they don't have even a respect for law now, Mosaic law. So, items that have changed so abruptly, you know. Anyway, I'm sure you've all had some sort of similar ideas. Praise the Lord God.
Amen. Well, the thing we want to get across to ourselves is who we are in Christ and what our job is, and our job is to do what Jesus did. And when we figure out that Jesus lives in us, the Holy Spirit, the power of the world, lives inside of us. And we state and declare things. We don't beg. We state and declare them. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, I was thinking what came to me was Jesus in the book of Revelation. He called himself, he identified himself as the I am, or the, you know, the AM, the Amen. These things saith the Amen. He is the I am, the Amen. He writes out of himself. He is the Amen. So that has to have something, because it's like a finish or something, you know, to something, because he's like beginning and the end. He's the Amen. But then I was also, I did a quick search, Michael, on just the word AM. Amen. Gosh, Julie, speak. Anyhow, in Deuteronomy 27, when they were reading about, you know, the commandments and the cursing, you know, cursed be the man, cursed be he, you know, and at the end of all these different verses, it says, and all the people shall say Amen. All the people shall say amen. So it's like they're all agreeing to what, you know, what it was just spoken. So it's like an agreement thing. Like we all said, you all said, we're, you know, like making a declaration. So it's also, it's like everyone's agreeing, right? You know what you get from it too?
Oh, you missed the funny part. I said, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's a declaration, actually. It's just a declaration. It's a statement. Like you said, it's a statement. It's not a finished product. In other words, it's not, I'm just trucking you off so we can go to something else. Amen. Let's go to something else. No, it's declaring a statement. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
I'm not to be a one who's always bringing up verses here, but what about 1 Peter 4:11? If any speaketh as oracles of God, that's an amen in itself. And if you look really closely at it, it's also a sanctuary that we're in, because we share in the Word of God. We share in as the light. As children of light, because we are imitating our Father, who is the light, and so the and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I like to think of the glory being the Father's part, using his Holy Spirit to remind you of all those different glories, all the knowledges and the teachings. You know, it's largely up to him, you know, into giving you these things to have them come into your mind, because you may have read them, but you may have not actually had a formal understanding of the entire verse. But you know, 4:11 is a really good verse there, because it really, if any speaketh as if oracles of God. So if you're going to speak, it has to be as if oracles of God. Just to know that our mouth is open wide unto you, Corinthians, our heart enlarged, you know, that is that's an oracle, you know, and that's your mouth being opened right there, you know, as if oracles of God, of the strength, and if any ministereth as of the strength which God supplieth, that in all things God be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now that's the sanctuary right there. Whose is the glory and the dominion unto the ages of the ages. Amen. So, it collates with Romans 10, 8 and 11. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. After all, we are speaking as ministers of strength. That's a glory. You know, I believe that's one of the lights in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, that the glory includes that strength of the Lord. And it's a light. And what is strength but the use of God's power, the Father's power? And he's the one surrounding us in this sanctuary. It's really close to the word sanctified. But it's a sanctuary that's all around you. It's a shield that protects you. It's like a garment. It's like a boat. it's like a house. It's like a declaration. Yes, because we are to share in Jesus Christ. Christ in you, and Christ is the name called the Word of God. So what is the nature, character, and authority behind this name but the Word of God? And for no word of God shall be void of power. And that's what Luke said. And Peter agrees with him. Since his divine power hath given to us all things pertaining unto life. Well, whose life? And godliness. And Paul agreed with Peter in Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So if you need that singular light in your menorah, that candlestick, what's the power that keeps it going but the Holy Spirit, the anointed oil? So there you have it. See, it kind of all collates. It kind of cleaves together with each other, these things. And I'm just kind of trying to meditate aloud. Hopefully, maybe some people need some help on how to meditate, because I certainly did. So I'm kind of hoping that people can meditate. Yeah. I mean, if it's the Word of God, you know, what did Jesus say? No, Beelzebub's not going to cast out Beelzebub. He just doesn't. He's speaking the Word of God here. And even the foolish high priest prophesied about Jesus, because whatever that verse is, you know, when he said that one has to die for the people, you know. So it's just amazing what God can do out of any person's mouth, even, because he's a sovereign God. And over all people. And well, we We just want to be in our place of sanctuary. You know, you get home from work and you go to your house, and you know, I don't know if there's such a thing as a man cave or a woman's cave over there where she does her sewing, whatever. I don't know. But you know, you feel in you feel at ease in that home. If it's that certain high chair you have with the high back and you can rest back on it, you know, or some, it's kind of a parallel to what a real sanctuary would be when it's the Almighty God, as it says in 2 Corinthians 6:16 to 18. And then he tells you he got some promise after that, 7:1. So it's just so many lovely verses there in 5, 6, and 7 chapter of 2 Corinthians that gives you that ability to even make the declaration, because he's telling you who you are. And I don't know if sometimes we get a lapse of memory or something, but even with that, you know, it can't be, because you know the covenant is, it's already there, and it's supposed to be in your heart too. You know, it's written on there. You know, we're supposed to be the epistle known and read of all men. Shouldn't you be speaking it? Didn't Peter tell us to speak it in 4:11? You know, and confess it with your mouth and believe in your heart, and it's right there, of the strength of God. You know, and when he manifests in us, we're real exciting when we have an answer to prayer. You know, and when we hear others to have answers to prayer, we should be excited for them too, because we have to keep thinking that, oh, wait a minute, he's one body with me too, you know. And we want people to come to the Lord. We want people to be one big happy family. And it's exciting. It's the place to live, I'll tell you, this sanctuary. And it's just so exciting. It's mind-boggling. How much more can the Lord put in there? Does he stop drawing you after he calls you? That's what might be the habit of some people, but he does. That's not the way it is. You know, he draws you even after he calls you, because you want to bear more fruit, and you want the Lord to move this word through you to other people, even if it's just a person will say something who's not even saved. Is that a drawing of, is that a John 6:44? No one can come unto me unless the Father draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So, you know, he's got to get you from that predestined to called, to justified, to glorified. And you know, where else could you be glorified except when you share with God's glory? You're sharing that light. You know, like what is a father who in him is light and there's no darkness at all in 1 John 1:3? And who are you but a child of light, according to 1 Thessalonians 5? And the morning star, what am I supposed to say here? You know, sun, moon, and star, chapter 19 of Psalms, you know. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day by day utter speech. You can go out on the balcony, put turn your ear up on a nice sunny day. I don't, if you start hearing things, whoa. But if you can hear them from God, because he can remind you of things out there. And in the nighttime, it's the moon and stars. So there's verses there in teaching of this glory. He's comparing it. He's giving you an example, a proverb, a figure, a parable, whatever else. And it's just a wonderful thing. And what is a parable anyway? You know, like, what is a parable anyway if you're going to speak speak as if oracles of God? Is there not a parable in that? Is not your life a parable? Just a question. Praise and glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Pat.
I started looking when Andrew was talking about that verse in 1 Peter 4:11, and then he got speaking about glory there, and I went down to the next verses, and this may be, where I may be at this point in time with the Lord. But he says in verse 12 of 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Beloved," and it's interesting that he moves into this verse right after, "If any speaketh as it were oracles of God," it remain, and went through that whole process, "that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whose is the glory and the dominion forever and ever." Verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which cometh upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened unto you. But insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, rejoice that at the revelation of his glory, also you may rejoice with exceeding joy." And obviously, the connection through speaking the word and the opposition that you may encounter in the world, and also that you may be encounter certain opposition within yourself, in the flesh or the carnal life, there is a suffering that he's speaking about here. Don't think it's strange concerning this trial, because in that suffering, ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, rejoicing. Rejoice that at the revelation of his glory, also you may rejoice with exceeding joy. So Peter is connecting that that glory of Christ in connection with certain aspects of suffering on the basis of the Word of God, or because of the Word of God. And then it says in 14, "If ye are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are ye, because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rests on you." And it's interesting that, he says the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rests upon you, meaning it's unseen, because the Spirit is unseen, and you may not even recognize it, as the Spirit of God is working through you or on you or in you. One thing you do recognize is the suffering, but sometimes I think we don't recognize the work that is being done through that suffering. And sometimes our hands can grow weary and under the pressure and under that process. But know for a fact, as Peter says, don't think it's strange. This is God's way of perfecting or completing that work within you, so that, and I'm taken back at, I go back to those verses in John 14 when Jesus is saying, he's talking in verse 14, in verse 15 of John 14, said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." And right there is the conflict. The Spirit, which you can't see and I can't see, the Spirit of truth, but the world cannot receive it. And that may be, it is for sure the world system and the world out there, but there's also an aspect of that worldly perspective within each and every one of us that God wants to bring to death, bring to the cross, and kill it. Kill it as it has already been done in spirit, and the perfection or the completing of it is that which is done, I believe, in the soul, in our soul. Even the Spirit of truth the world cannot receive, for it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him. Ye know him, for he abideth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you desolate, but I will come unto you yet a little while, and the world beholds me no more. But ye behold me, because I live, ye shall live also. And then he says something interesting. He says, "In that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." In what day is he even talking about? In the day that I pray the Father, verse 16, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever. And I think that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit being received by us, is the day that we know, that we experientially become aware of the fact that Jesus is in the Father, and we are in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. And I guess I'm going, I was reminded, so Let me just finish in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. And then in verse 23, he was answering Judas, not Iscariot. But he said, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not. Well, let me just stop up there, because I was actually thinking about an example the Lord gave me. I think I shared it on here once before, but it was an example of, I think I was talking about jurisdiction. And it was the example of driving up to an intersection. Normally, in an intersection, either have stop signs or stop lights or something like that, to which we obey just the normal driving rules. But then there, excuse me, is a higher authority that if there is a police officer in that intersection giving direction to the traffic, it takes precedent over what that stop sign said or the traffic light or whatever. In other words, if you come up there and he's waving you on, you can drive right through the red light and proceed on because that officer's presence takes precedent. And then, I don't know how this connects in here, but then I gave the example of that. If you were coming up to an intersection and the same example happened, except though it wasn't an officer of law, but it was a terrorist or a gang. And there was four or five of them standing there with weapons and AK-47s and black hoods and everything like that. And they stood up there and gave you the same direction of that as that traffic cop. You would probably obey just to get through the intersection, not because they had the authority, but they had the dominion of that intersection that they were maintaining by force, which was kind of, to me, was kind of an example of what the devil did when he deceived Eve, and Adam and Eve partook of the forbidden fruit and brought sin into the world. The devil usurped that authority of man and took the dominion and made it, because of man's sin, made man unable to exercise the authority that he was given by God. And so the devil usurped it. Where was I going with this? We are in a time now that I believe pre-tribulation, when the spirit of lawlessness is abounding. And what does it say in the scripture? The spirit of lawlessness, because love, I can't remember what it says now. The love of many wax cold, and the spirit of lawlessness abounds. And I'm trying to connect this to we're going into a time, I believe, when fearful people will antagonize and terrorize to create fear in order to control, in order to make, the Bible calls it oppression, but they use an oppressive, fearful, terroristic hand to get their way, or to exercise their usurpation of authority. And yet, the Psalms are replete with God bringing us into a place of his refuge, that there is a greater power in resting in the truth that God will subdue our enemies for us. And I believe what I had an example. I think I had an example. I might probably shared it on here as well, about situation where I had a foreman that was acting very disrespectfully of, the authority that I have as a superintendent, etc., and was creating a little bit of a stir. And I ended up writing an email, and in that email stated certain contractual obligations and requiring safety, also I brought in a statement regarding the federal regulations related to safety compliance and, excuse me, all that. And then in that email, I copied my boss and I copied his boss, and basically said, in case you're unclear about your obligations to fulfill your safety requirements, these two gentlemen can help you understand that. It basically is what I said. I don't remember what it was. I flowered it up a little bit better than that, but the point being, I mean, the next day that I saw him, there was a massive change in attitude, a massive change in cooperation. There was no, absolutely no recognition of any kind of disrespect or anything. And I believe I said it at the time, it almost made me feel uncomfortable how powerful that was. But the point being is that that gentleman was faced, his anger, frustration, oppressive, rejection, rebellion was overcome by a higher fear. There was a higher fear that came in, and it neutralized his own. And now he wasn't thinking of his own feelings or whatever. He was thinking of maybe survival or something. I don't know how you would say it. But using that example, I believe that God wants to work in us a greater, the presence of a greater fear than those terroristic, oppressive motivations of those people that we will be facing or are facing now, even now. And that fear is connected with our single-eyed, unified, wholehearted love for Jesus. And I haven't put the pieces together, but I know that that overwhelming love for God is a greater power than the oppressive fear of the world. He says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so my prayer is to the Lord is to be able to enter into that complete love of Jesus that brings forth the Father's his and the Father's comfort to abide in me, I guess you might say, and in us. So I don't know. I think that this was the whole point that Peter was saying when he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you to prove you, because God's doing something here in you. He's making his own abode so that his glory can shatter the realms of this earthly jurisdiction and bring forth Christ into reality." And I believe that's what God is doing in us right now. I know that's what he's doing in me. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the fiery trials that you're putting us through. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Those fiery trials help us, don't they? Help us to get rid of this stuff. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I was just, while Pat was speaking, doing a search on, you said earlier, Jesus never used the word amen. I was just searching about that. What's interesting is in the Old Testament, amen means so be it or true. And in the New Testament, it says firm and trustworthy. So when Jesus says he said about Jesus in Revelation 3:14, this says the amen, but Jesus is the amen. Other words, it means he is the firm, he is the trustworthy, he is true. That's why I never use the word truth is he is amen, or never used amen because he is the amen. Just an interesting quote. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
What's that reference in Revelation again? Because it's the second time it's been mentioned. That Jesus.
Revelation 3, chapter Pardon? 3, verse 14.
Revelation 2 and 14, Andrew.
3.
3, three. Three and 14, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
And just where will this Jesus be? And where is this Jesus now? You should know. It's a really nice place. It begins with S, it ends in Y, sanctuary. So
it's, 6 verses after. What? Is it 3 or is it 2?
No, he said 3:14.
Okay. Yeah, it's 6 verses after where he is.
Yeah.
Revelation 3:20.
3:20. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is?
Well, I can't verbatim, but.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him.
And not only that, in 1913, he's the name called the Word of God. And Luke 1:37 is, for no word of God shall be void of power. And you know what another thing it says in Luke? It says, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And then Paul agrees with him by saying, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God, casting down strongholds, casting down reasonings and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. And of course, you know, this amen here is a declaration, I was told, not just too long ago in this study. And we were told to believe, receive, command, declare now. Why? Well, someone tried it and it worked. And isn't he supposed to be in one body with us? I'm sure he knows the amen does it. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, and I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. And the life is in the blood, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And Jesus is the word, the name called the Word of God. You know, sometimes the Lord uses just one word in a verse when Pat was reading the other verses down further. When he got to 4:14, the emphasis on that verse that came to me was that word rest. And we know that that's a sabbatismos, and we know that rest is in Hebrews. You know that he wanted to tell the Hebrews especially what rest meant, because they thought it was Saturday, you know, and for some reason they think it's a day. And he even mentions that even God rested on the seventh day in the very same verses there, but he makes it a sabbatismos. We rest from our works, so that God can work through us. And that's how grace works, isn't it? Saved by grace? Does he not even utter that to us when we're saved? Does he not say, now is the day of our salvation? Now is the season of his hearkening to us? Is that not something we're supposed to hear from him? Does he not declare that to us, that by grace we will hear, and by grace we will be saved for whatever our journey is in front of us? Did he not say that he would even send the Holy Spirit in his name to teach us all things and to remind us of what he taught us? Well, why else would we be able to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart unless he did that already, which is the covenant to write that word upon our minds and upon our hearts? I mean, the very most we can do is speak as the oracle and declare it with our mouth. Because even if you declare it with your mouth, a high priest that doesn't know anything about Jesus declared something correctly, that one person must die for the whole nation. So what's going on here? That's I'm just getting people to think about it. That's all. To be a learned person is all those glories that are in your candlestick. You have a personal candlestick and there's a corporate one. But when does the personal one become the corporate one? And how do you treat your brother that might be the least to the greatest, and all the ones in between. in that covenant verse in Hebrews. Hebrews has a way of just telling you exactly what he wants on this covenant, on what the temple is, and it's a sanctuary too, you know. And who is this tabernacle of the Lord that they're going to blaspheme in the future? In chapter 13, when it comes to pass. And you know, so far we mentioned Peter and John, and I think that's two out of three. Someone's going to have to bring up some James here, because they were all on the Mount of Transfiguration, the we that are alive and remain. And if Jesus is the amen, then it was in those three too. And Peter even messed up when he was there, but he messed up because he had the Holy Spirit on him and he was clean because of the word spoken to him. But something still had to come to the effect of the blood of the Lamb and the Holy Spirit in them. So if we're going to quote Jesus in John, then John got a little bit more revelation when he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Revelation. I'm not sure if he wrote any other book or letter, but what is it that we haven't been given, especially since he's going to remind us through the Holy Spirit? And there's also another reminder verse there in chapter 3 of Philippians. It escapes me right now, but it's there. So, well, what can we possibly do but be reminded if you're going to believe it? So praise him. I love hearing people quoting scriptures, because he's going to remind everybody about a big amount of things, you know. And I like to hear experiences also and stuff, because it tunes our mind to righteousness, to the light, to Christ, to believer, to the sanctuary, to everything you can be in Christ, which is the grace. Be strengthened. He called Timothy a child, Paul, but he wasn't a child. Be therefore strengthened in the strength that's in Christ Jesus. Thou therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And by grace have you been saved. And he says today is the day of your salvation. But today is the day when you hear his word speaking to you. Well, how are you supposed to hear it? I think we're just getting too tuned to hearing some other voice or word coming into our head that we don't want to hear that one. We know all about that. And he can rob a child. Like we've heard, these children are robbed. My Lord hates robbery with iniquity. He loves justice. The government's supposed to do something about these things. Even the worst of them are supposed to do something about it. They should be moved to doing what is right concerning children. But you know, even youths can be robbed. A lot of people could be robbed. Families are being robbed. We have brothers and sisters who've perhaps been robbed all their life. So you got someone on your side now. We've got someone on our side. He's our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Now, I don't know what hallowed really means, but I know that his word has, when he speaks, it creates. And we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works. So in order for that to happen, he's going to have to remind us. Look at the power of this Holy Spirit. You know, don't put the Holy Spirit in a box, because he's omnipresent. You're going to need a big box for that. So praise and glory to God. Oh, I'm just, again, you know, this is a meditative, you know, just meditate on this. Let the Lord take you where he wants to take you, but it's going to follow the Lord. Because he said it would. Praise God. Glory to God. Yeah. You know, that rest almost sounds as if you go from the predestined to called to justified. It sounds like it's glorifying God, the rest. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Anyone else? All right. What's on your mind now?
So nobody's getting the James verse popping in your head? We've got to have all three, you know, the we that are alive and remain.
Go ahead, Pat.
Andrew made a that not quite sure where it was. It started me thinking about it, but that is the Holy Spirit is the new covenant, is God's Abraham, God's answer to Abraham, in that he promised to fulfill Abraham's part of the covenant after Abraham was dead and could no longer fulfill it, I guess. So in order for God to make that happen, he gave the Holy Spirit to put his spirit within men's hearts and write his word upon and his law upon our hearts. And I guess my question, maybe to Andrew, is if one has not received the Holy Spirit as Christ has directed us, can you really perceive what the new covenant relationship is? I know that Michael, and this is a question, maybe a question for meditation and pondering, but I know Michael has mentioned it many times before, is that if we are able to recognize our position and place in Christ, to know who we are in Christ, power results from that. And I'm looking here at that verse that I was reading before, when Jesus said, related to the, looking for it now, and I can't, it's not popping out at me. I'll get to it, guaranteed. In that day, Jesus talking about the receiving of the Holy Spirit, in that day, you shall know. So I'm wondering if if one has not received the Holy Spirit, can you really perceive, can you really know what the depth of the new covenant relationship means, or can you know God in that way, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So I just throw that out as a question, maybe for comments or whatever.
That's
Can I edit that?
sure.
You were just speaking last message or two ago about Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know if I read his biography or autobiography or whatever it was, but he got saved and preached the gospel for what, 10 or 12 years, I think, until he came to a place in his life, I guess, where he sought God and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was after he was preaching, teaching, the Word of God, and working in as some sort of a minister and doing something. I don't remember what it was now. But after he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, his life turned upside down and he exploded in power and became the man that he is now that we read about. All of the miracles, all the laying on of hands, all the, beating the hell out of the devil and casting him out, so to speak. I don't think that's cursing, is it? Maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, that happened after he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It certainly made an impact in his life, but something changed the depth of what he knew and how he functioned and how he operated, changed dramatically over what he was. And he was a Bible-believing, new covenant Christian, but something changed. Something changed when that happened. Maybe Michael can speak more about that because he's, I think, read more about it. But that was the thing that I keyed on when it happened in his life.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. One of the things that he did do, he decided to surrender it all to the Lord. And once he surrendered it all to the Lord, the power of God came upon him in a mighty way. It did. Did you know his wife was a preacher before him? Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was more of a worker because his wife was more adept at preaching than he was, if I remember right now.
Yeah. But once he surrendered his life, the power of God came upon him in a mighty way, and that's why he healed. I mean, everybody got that. Nobody liked him. Nobody liked him at all. He was a hard man, but they liked his healing, and they would line up to be healed. But when you go over to his house, Lester Sumrall used to be a went over there and visited with him for a while as a young man, real young man. And he said nobody liked him because he was a gruff guy. He said when he went up to the door to meet him the first time, he knocked on the door, and Wigglesworth came out and he said, "What's that?" And Sumrall had a newspaper under his arm. And he told him, he said, "Well, Hitler and Mussolini will be in hell soon. I don't want that newspaper in here to talk about it. Just leave the newspaper out. That was back years ago, of course. And he said that's just the way he was. He said he went in there, and he said the first thing he did was sit there and pray for 30 minutes. The first thing, just come in there and pray for 30 minutes. Then he said, let's feed our spirit. And they say in the Bible for an hour or so. He said it was like that all day long with him. It was no small talk. It was all Jesus. It was all Bible. It was all the Word with him. And that's the reason the power of God flowed so mightily in him. And other people down through the years, if you, A. Allen was another one that gave it all up. You might have remembered the story about A. Allen. He told his wife, he said, I'm going into the closet to fast and pray until God gives me the power that I've been looking for. And she'd lock that door and she'd go in there and fry herself some chicken, and that smell would get to him. And he'd beat on the door. She'd come over and say, what? She says, oh, I said, I can't help it. I said, I gotta have some of that fried chicken. And he did that two or three times until he finally, the Lord told him, he said, well, are you gonna do this or not? You know? So he gave it all up, and he stayed there until the power of God, it came on him the next day or sometime, I don't remember when, but when it came on him strong. And that's what I've read about the powerful men of God. They surrendered it all to the Lord. They surrendered everything to the Lord. And that's what God's wanting all of us to do in order to work this work that's coming up ahead of now. He's going to help us. He's going to help us in a mighty and wonderful way. But we've got to make up our minds, and I'm talking to Michael too. Got to make up our minds to give up the flesh and allow God to work in it. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. So, hey,
Well,
Will.
Matthew 13 has the two nice parables there of the pearl of great price and the treasure that he hid in the field. And I always like to think like the parables of Matthew 25 seem to collate with each other, coming right after the 24 chapter there, which we all know is the last days. But I kind of think that the four different lands and the parable of the weeds, the parable of the net, there's the fishing net, and so he gets the good ones and puts it in the vessel, and the bad ones get thrown away. It's like those rocks that were thrown away far away from the tower in Shepherd of Hermas's dream there, so that they can get cleansed a little more, I guess, in the water for the angel to go find them again to put in the tower. And I kind of like to think that those other parables, that are when a person interprets a dream, he's got a parable there kind of interpretation the same way. And it's just he gets he finds this great treasure, he buries it in the land, and then he goes and sells everything he has to buy that land. And I may have missed a couple of parables there. Sometimes there's a parable and he doesn't even say it's a parable. When you read the Gospels, you can read something. Now that sounds like a parable, but if they don't really, the church doesn't really list it as a parable, Anyway, if you want honey in your mouth or whatever, and bitter in your belly, there's others that I just trying to think of them now that the Lord would, I don't think the foxes have holes and the birds have nests was a parable either. So, but not formally, like the formal church says, well, this is a parable, you know, but he is speaking in parables. He even acts them out. You know, like there was one prophet, he was using his hair, you know, throwing it in the wind and stuff and all that stuff. And he was like doing an active parable. Just trying to well, Jesus was an active parable, of course, when he went to the cross for us, and he discussed it with the Lord whether this cup could pass him, and of course the answer was no, and he you know, his father had to do something to him. You know, there's that particular verse in Isaiah 52:14. He had to do that. He had to allow that to happen to him. And Jesus agreed with it. Like he agreed to have himself beaten, like he was beaten beyond recognition as even a human being on that cross. And you know, it's heart-wrenching to think that, to think of that, even to have that, to have that done for us, for our corporate body. You know, the Son of God, praise and glory to God.
Amen. I just now put that link, YouTube link to that AI thing that I was telling you about. Talks about the numerics. AI does. And it, you know, pretty neat. Oh, hey, Will, where'd he go? He dropped in to say hi. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the transformation in Will. Go ahead, Joe.
Michael, listening to that AI you post. I was just asking you, maybe you know, I didn't catch it, but what Bible did they put in AI to do the search? What kind of Bible, what version of the Bible, let me put it this way, what do you think?
Don't know, they never did say. The question I have is, will they put the Quran through the same test? Yeah, I don't know which one they used, Joe. I don't know if it even says. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
Didn't he mention something in that about the Quran, that they tested other books and they didn't find?
I don't remember if he did. He may have. I don't remember if he did. I know that we've asked him to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Missy. Yeah.
I remember him saying about they tested other books, but I don't remember him saying specifically about the Quran. May have, but I don't remember that. I do remember him saying about that, testing other books.
Well, as you all know, after David has on the website, Ivan Pan and Stuff, that there's even versions of the Bible that are more correct than others. And of course, he mentioned the ASV as being the most correct interpretation of the Bible on the marketing side. Except, of course, for the New Testament, NENT, which is Ivan Panin's version of the New Testament. Go ahead, Pat.
I remember when I was back in the Baptist church, the favorite book was the King James, but I remember and I like some of the wording with the King James even now, better than the ASV in some areas. But anyway, but the pastor at that time told me that because we were talking about, well, what's the best Bible to get? This one, and of course it was the King James version or whatever. And but then I asked, as I continued to talk with him, he stated that, in Bible school they use anytime they wanted to study and really understand what the Bible said, they always use the ASV, American Standard. And I thought, well, and he said, and because it's more accurate to the Greek language, etc. I never pursued it after that as to, well, if it's more accurate, why are you pounding the King James Version as being the best? But anyway, I didn't go down that path. But the point is, in the Bible schools at that time, they were using the ASV to teach. So I just thought it was kind of interesting.
Yep, I found that out early on myself. Is even the all of the religions, Pentecost, all of them used the ASV in their schools back years ago, and but they all wanted to use the King James Version because it was the most. And then they said, just like you did, they said that the ASV is the most accurate to the language than even the King James is. And I'm like you, it didn't make a bit of sense to me to why you want to use the King James. But anyway, praise God. We got the NENT, and if you want to go to it, it's I like to read the NENT. Everybody got a copy of that? Yeah, that's a good book. I like it. I'll tell you the one I like the most, and it's not the ASV. It's the RASV. That's the one I like. And they got a New Testament with the Psalms in it. And it's really pretty neat little book. It's a whole lot lighter than that great big book. All right, anyone else? We're kind of winding down here.
Is that the revised version? Is that what
No,
it is?
it's refreshed version. It's
Oh.
called the Refreshed American Standard Version. Let's see if you can't hardly read that. This is just the New Testament. I've got one that's the Old Testament. Missy may have one sitting there right there by, but it's a little bit heavier. Oh, here we go. It's a little bit bigger. Oh man, that thing. It'll weigh probably 5, 6, 7 pounds.
That law is heavy, isn't
Yeah, well, you can
it?
buy one that's you can buy those things, I guess, now in leather or fake leather and stuff, but gosh, they're high. Yeah, $200 and $300.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what I said. Whoa, I think I can carry that big thing around, man. I'll be looking like Johnny Weissmuller. Yeah, he's young. I said, who is that? That's Tarzan. Years ago from the 50s. Oh, okay. Anybody else? I'm telling my age now, Pat. Oh, my goodness.
I'm right up there with you.
It's fun too.
Weissmuller was the one that created the famous Tarzan yell
Oh,
or whatever it is,
yeah.
you know, that you hear or heard. I don't think I've watched one of those for a long, long time.
It's been a long time, probably 40 years since I've seen one. I used to watch him every Saturday, though. What's that old song? Tarzan the Monkey Man. Da, 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 da. I better be quiet. Okay, anyone got a prayer request before we close out tonight? Lord, the things that were shared tonight, I just ask that you place it in our hearts. I tell you something, y'all, I read across here some time back. Andrew Murray did a story on did a study on Hebrews. Has anybody ever seen that? Oh my goodness. The holiest of all is what it's called. Look at that. And it is fantastic. It's an exposition on the Epistle to the Hebrews. That's good. Hey, Debbie, you got here just in time to get off.
I've been on for a while.
Okay.
About 40 minutes. I got on really late.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how long.
All right.
Maybe 45 minutes.
Let's see. Today is what day is this? This is the second. This is the second, isn't it? 2L's day. Okay. Lord, I thank you for a wonderful night tonight. We had a pretty good discussion tonight, and I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that it's going to go into our hearts and our spirit, that we will just going to get rid of all of the flesh, Lord, with your help. And we're going to be able to see and hear and listen to you more clearly, Lord, because of it. And not only that, Lord, it makes us more powerful in the kingdom world, that we could bring the kingdom of heaven right down here to earth. And I praise you and thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that everybody here is looking forward to the time ahead where we're not only going to read the word, we're not only going to say the word, we're going to do the word. And we praise you and thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, bless everybody tonight that's listening with a good night's sleep or a good day's of work, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for all of your wonderful angels that are all ready to wrap. In Jesus' name, doing the things that we've asked them to do. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you have brought down these chemtrails, planes, and keeping them on the ground so they don't mess with our weather anymore, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. And I thank you, Father, for bringing us all into the revelation knowledge of who we are in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Julie.
Amen. Something is just coming to me. Lord, I just pray against all the election fraud for the midterms here that they're talking about and putting people into office illegally. Lord, we just come against all of that in the name of Jesus. We forbid their various acts and all of their plans to rig it and put illegally anybody in office that shouldn't be there. And Father, we pray for your mercy, God. Do we pray for your mercy and grace that some of these states that have been just so full of corruption in the government leadership, Lord, that you'll bring these things down. You'll bring respectable into the government system, that they will not fall prey to the the bribes and the extortion and the blackmail and the greed and power and all that stuff that seems to happen to a lot of people that go in with good intentions. So, Lord, we pray for your mercy and grace, and your will would be done, Father, for this election coming up here in the midterms, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hall, show us how all to do some spiritual warfare against these things, Father, according to your word, and praying in the Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of insomnia on anyone that hasn't experienced it. In Jesus' name, that everybody listening to it is going to get a good night's sound sleep. In Jesus' name, wake up supernaturally, energetic. In Jesus' name.
Restored. Restored.
Yeah, restored too. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Y'all be blessed, you hear?